Our data is the currency funding everything wrong with today. App after app, device after device, analyzes your data so they can sell access to your attention and your personal history. And this is having real-world consequences for our privacy, personal security, and civil liberties. It's a dystopian nightmare, but it's one you can resist. Since June 2023, my mobile devices have been exclusively running GrapheneOS, a privacy-respecting, security-focused version of Android, without all the data-guzzling bloat we've come to expect from a mainstream mobile OS. GrapheneOS takes the stock Android Open Source Project, or AOSP, and builds on it to create a de-bloated, security-hardened operating system for Google's Pixel devices. By default, you only have a few core apps installed. The entire app drawer is just 14 icons. It's an incredibly minimal experience, free from the attention and data traps that we see from everyday Android. It's basically a dumb phone, but with a nicer camera. But unlike a dumb phone, you can selectively add in apps and components from modern Android, gaining fine control over how much data or how little data you'd like to share with the big tech giants. Since my last video on the topic, where I walked through installing GrapheneOS on a then-current Pixel 7, I've installed and used GrapheneOS on my everyday carry Pixel 8, as well as my Pixel tablet. That's almost 3 years living my best mobile life with GrapheneOS, and honestly, it's been pretty great. So great that I've moved the whole family over to it. One of my favorite parts about GrapheneOS is that it doesn't even come with Google Play services or the Google Play Store installed. For me, as someone who really dislikes the modern mobile scene, that's kind of awesome. Android proper pushes proprietary, pervasive Google Play into practically everything as a perpetually privileged process and prevents you from properly wiping it completely. On the other hand, GrapheneOS completely removes Google Play from the default system. So if you truly want a 100% Google-free OS, it's a great way to get there, and it's what I use in my day-to-day life. This is where I was going to start talking about my favorite Google-free Android apps, but my first draft of this video was at least 45 minutes long, so I'm going to cover those in a separate video. Of course, you can install Google Play services and the Play Store if you really need to. I was doing some traveling last summer, and I had no trouble at all installing airline apps for ticketing and rideshare apps for getting around. And on my tablet, I made a special Google Crapola isolated profile that lets me drop into a more traditional Google Play Store experience for my banking and school-related apps while keeping them completely isolated from my everyday tablet needs. But what's kind of great about GrapheneOS is that Google Play services, if you even choose to run it, run sandboxed as a regular user instead of the super user features it gets on stock Android. So you can heavily lock down Google's access to your data or just bypass it altogether. I remember on my old traditional Android phone, I couldn't turn off certain permissions for certain apps. But GrapheneOS doesn't have those same restrictions. You know, because you're in control, not Google. On GrapheneOS, if I don't want Google Play services to know my physical activity, I can just disable it. On traditional Android, that's not always possible. And of course, on GrapheneOS, since Google's nonsense is just a user-level app, you can simply not install it and use a completely de-Googled phone. Basically, GrapheneOS lets you choose the trade-off between privacy and convenience, instead of that decision being made for you. And that's awesome. Installing it is super straightforward. Basically, there's a web-based installer you can use that'll wipe your unlocked Pixel phone and install GrapheneOS. Now, I can already hear the comments. But Veronica, why is it only available for Pixel phones? That's a good question, and I'd say it's a fair point to make. Now, the reason the devs have supported Pixels exclusively is because Pixels meet the strict security and privacy standards that the project wants to support. I can't imagine they'd be able to maintain the same level of security if they had to support every hardware combination for every Android device under the sun. That said, they are working on supporting devices from another OEM, so I suspect that the Pixel exclusivity will be gone before too long. While I don't like giving Google my money for a phone, I do like the fact that I can walk into a Best Buy and walk out with a phone that'll run Graphene OS later that day. That's pretty sweet. Now, this video is a why to install video and not a how to install video, because the docs are really great and you don't need me to read them to you. But if you'd like me to do a walkthrough video anyway, make sure to satisfy my intense need for engagement farming by leaving me a comment. What I will say is that if you're an eSIM user, you should probably install the eSIM before installing Graphene OS, since installing an eSIM might require horrible carrier apps that you won't want anywhere near your phone after you're done flashing it. That's the big reason I use SIM cards to this day. I love that I don't have to ask permission to switch my phone number to a new device. But I know not everyone's in that boat. After installation, which does not require a Google account, you'll have a rather bare-bones phone with almost no features, which, depending on your intended smartphone vibes, might be a refreshing experience. I know it is for me. It can send text messages and receive phone calls. It has a web browser and a camera. That's pretty much it. If that's all you want, congratulations! For most of us, we probably want a little bit of customization, and we might need a few apps. And that's where the privacy trade-offs come in. Right away, if you go to the confusingly named App Store, which is more of a Graphene OS default app repository, you can install Google Play Store and a sandboxed version of the Google Play services. Google Play functions pretty much like you'd expect it to function. My banking applications work fine on it, and the list of software that bans Graphene OS due to attestation issues is pretty small. And because it's sandboxed, Google Play is not going to have all of the data-sucking permissions that it has on stock Android. And for a lot of folks, using sandboxed Google Play is a good trade-off. For me, personally, I don't like it. See, the apps you can get from the Play Store are going to be more data-hungry than what you can get from other resources. If you want to use Play Store, you certainly can, but I made the decision years ago to ditch most social media and streaming platforms. And day-to-day, I don't depend on any Google Play services in my mobile life, and my App Store choices reflect that. A Crescent is an option that Graphene OS has thrown some support behind, but there's not a lot there as of filming. Obtainium is a popular option, but you won't find it in the Graphene OS quote-unquote app store, nor will you find F-Droid, perhaps the largest collection of free and open source Android apps around. But both are easily installable and work pretty great with Graphene OS. Now, I'm not going to go into every Android app I use in this video, but I've got to talk about messaging. The stock messaging app is a serviceable SMS and MMS application, which feels very much like the texting app I used on my very first Android phones back in the day. In other words, you won't have RCS, which means no reactions or encryption options there. Now, some folks say they've gotten RCS working on Graphene OS by installing the Google Messages app, along with all the Google Play Store rigmarole. But when I tried it, I got stuck on the verifying your phone number step. Which isn't a terribly big deal to me, since RCS doesn't interest me all that much. At least not until there's a free and open source implementation of it. And that might never happen. Signal publishes an APK, but you gotta do some URL hunting for it because for some reason they don't advertise it directly on their download page. You can use that APK version and set it to pull your notifications directly so that it'll work without Google Play, after allowing it to run directly in the background, which does eat up a smidge more battery life. But once you get it all set up, it works exactly like you'd expect. And between Signal and my email, my de-Googled Graphene OS phone handles all of my day-to-day communications without issue. Of course, it's not all roses when you're running Graphene OS. Google Pay is unsupported on alternate OSs. And here in the US, there aren't any Tap to Pay apps that work, at least not any that I'm aware of as of filming. In Europe, the situation is a little different, but being that I'm stuck here, I can't try that. But that's not really Graphene OS's problem. That's Google deciding on their own proprietary mess instead of pushing for an open standard. And in any case, that doesn't really impact me much at all, because I'm one of those ancient souls that still pulls out cash or a debit card to make most payments. Now, this doesn't mean that I can't use any banking apps. Far from it, every one I've tried works just fine on Graphene OS, sometimes even without Google Play services installed. Of course, I bank at a local credit union, so if there was a problem, I can literally show up and bug the dev team. And if you do choose to install Google Play services with Graphene OS, you're probably going to have a perfectly fine experience. But without Google Play services? Yeah, there's some sacrifices. There's GPS apps that'll run without Google Play, but they won't perform quite as nicely as a fully kitted out Waze or Google Maps. Of course, none of those perform as nicely as a real standalone GPS unit, which is how I've handled this task for years. A lot of apps depend on Google Play services for their push systems. So if you're running completely de-Googled, you might run into issues getting notifications. Again, that's totally not going to be an issue if you install the sandboxed Google Play services. But I've lived without these notifications for years now, and honestly, I don't miss the constant interruptions to my attention span. And for the stuff that's really important to get notifications about, there's easy workarounds. You see, when you completely de-Google Graphene OS, your phone acts a lot more like, well, a phone. And for me, as someone who struggles with attention and focus, that's been a huge benefit in my day-to-day life. But during times where I've needed those features, like while I'm traveling, it's been trivial to install those Play services, sandbox them so Google gets as little information as possible, and then delete them when I'm on the plane back home. With stock Android, you have no control over that. Graphene OS trusts you to make that choice. That's why I've been using them exclusively for the last couple of years, and why I'm a donor to their project. And if you'd like to help fund a privacy-respecting alternative to data-invasive Android, I'll leave a link in the description. And I've barely scratched the surface on what Graphene OS can do for you. Some standout features include a duress pin to automatically wipe your phone if a specified pin is entered, which I could imagine being a great option for folks who are worried that their phone might be confiscated. That's not legal advice! Who can forget about pin digit scrambling, which rearranges the number on the pin entry screen so that you don't leave smudges or wear marks to help ne'er-do-wells reverse engineer your pin? There's storage scopes for allowing apps access to certain files but hiding others, perfect for social media apps which might have a hunger for your precious data. And of course, there's the fact that when you reduce the amount of apps running constantly in the background, Android's actually quite efficient. I routinely get 3, sometimes 4 days worth of use on a single charge. And then there's what it lacks. No voice assistant built in. No so-called AI shoved down my throat. No online account baked into every aspect of the device. It's just a phone. It's the Android we were promised at the birth of the smartphone era. Now, I'm not going to be able to make a video about Graphene OS without addressing the obnoxious behavior of the devs on social media. Unlike most free and open source projects, the Graphene OS official channels routinely go off the rails in the comments, replying to supposed competitors in a way that I find unsettling. Does that dissuade me from using and supporting their work? No, because they're the best option for privacy on Android right now. But do I wish they'd avoid commenting about other operating systems? Absolutely. It's just odd behavior. These devs have a lot to be proud of, and I don't fault any dev for reasonably describing the differences between their work and other projects in their space. But going after random users in the comments, that's not helpful. Now, I know better than most that scary folks do scary things on the internet, and I think it's entirely justifiable to take a defensive posture when you're working on a large project that puts a target on your back. But they don't need to add to that by responding critically to anyone who even mentions an alternative to their work. Sometimes, looking at their social media, it seems like the GrapheneOS team is approaching comms like a wounded animal striking out at a world that's out to get them. And maybe that's just the natural consequence of being so focused on privacy and security work. If their paranoia manifests as this awesome OS, I'm truly grateful for that labor. But GrapheneOS isn't a wounded animal. They're the lion at the top of the food chain. A lot of security-minded folks think they have the best tool in this space, so their lashing out at these other projects is just sad. I fully expect to get some flack from the project for saying that, and if I do, I'll be posting screenshots of it on my blog. Lousy PR skills aside, GrapheneOS isn't perfect, and it's not going to solve all of your privacy problems. But it can be a major part of a strategy to fight back against big tech, because it puts you in charge of your apps instead of the other way around. With GrapheneOS, I was able to take back a bit of privacy. Maybe you will too. To everyone yelling at me that my videos should be blog posts, I have good news. I just relaunched my website, now at the new URL, veronicaexplains.net.